It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guide.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. Here we are, almost the end of February, and I guess we're dead nut in the middle of it. But anyway, I hope you had a good Valentine's Day. Barbecue Bob, I'm Jop. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, good to be here. It is still the smokiest show on the airwaves, Jop.
Right.
15 years now, practically.
I know.
And
can't believe they're still listening.
Jethro, 6 years old? Aren't we having a birthday party coming up?
Yeah, we did last night.
The station that we broadcast from is 6 years old. Of course, you're maybe listening on another station like WBRN in Big Rapids or WJIM in Lansing. We're so good they play us twice.
Hey, you know what?
And then,
either that or they're hard up for content.
A little both is lucky for us. Either way, and then thousands of people on, we broadcast the show and then we publish it on a podcast. So we have absolutely thousands of people picking it up on podcast, which is still very cool.
And we don't charge a nickel for any of that.
Well, you know, I'm a big podcaster myself. I love my pods because I get to listen when I want to.
Sure.
And I have some of my favorites, like Jocko, who's a retired Navy SEAL, very successful businessman, has really interesting like development, personal development people on and success stories. Sean,
isn't
Rock,
it a little late for personal development for you and me?
Never.
Never?
No.
Okay.
No, think of Ross Perot.
Yeah?
Think of the Colonel Saunders.
He perfected that, Colonel Sanders perfected that recipe early in his life, and then he just executed it. Right?
At how old?
I don't know.
In his 60s.
Yeah, all right. Well, we're there.
Yeah. So I don't think it's ever too late. I think the Colonel Sanders story is one of the greatest. But I also look at Ross Perot, and
where'd that guy go? Has he passed now?
He is.
Yeah.
But I remember as a young exec, young dad, starting to pay attention to the news and politics and things like that, and listening to him, just thinking, that's a different guy right there. He's not agreeing with the Republicans or the Democrats. I think I like him.
Yeah.
And then I self-funded myself. I self-funded a campaign in West Michigan, and I started, I'd put up his campaign helped me. They gave me banners and whatnot, but I would set up tables in parking lots and proselytize, and I'd try and hand out brochures to say, take a listen to this guy. Pay attention here. This is a different opinion.
Well, there you go. That's a great American way.
And I met so many cool people doing that, that when our current president came along, it reminded me a lot of that. It was a billionaire who just said, I think we can do this different. And right. And we're seeing it now, which is not barbecue talk, but I got to say it is a very interesting time to be alive.
It is.
Watching these young kids go through our government and comb through and find billions and billions of dollars of our money. It's only begun, but it's going to be fun. We're going to have money for better steak in the future is what that means. We're going to be able to go into Sobeys and just buy the counter.
Yeah, and the only thing that I want to remind everybody of is the guy's been on the job a month, right? I mean, the things he's accomplished, whether you're whichever political side, but you watch the work that's happening and the people that
everybody's amazed.
I know it's just an amazing amount of work. Whether you agree or disagree, you got to acknowledge that he came in ready to work.
Well, and those that disagree now are amazed too. And you even hear news anchors just say, I don't know what we can do. It's like, you're supposed to be a newscaster. You're not supposed to do anything. You're supposed to report to us.
Right.
Anyway, that's enough about that. But I noticed if you haven't been to thegrillingguys.com, shame on you, because we put so much time and effort into trying to make the world a meatier place. That there's some good stuff on there for you. On the right-hand side of our page, you'll see a picture of our producer, Conrad.
Really?
No, you won't.
Oh, no. But you will see icons from all the people that keep us on the air.
Yeah.
And people like Garrett's Appliance, people like Old World Olive Company, people like, MyPillow.
Sobey Meats.
I'm going to forget some of them.
Garrett Appliance.
Fenn Valley. That's how I let it off. Fenn Valley.
Hall Street and Wealthy Street Bakery. All these guys.
Yeah.
They partnered up with us, and it's a wonderful thing because they're great businesses that are just trying to cut a living like everybody else.
And they happen to think that what we're doing is worthwhile. And we're, if you have somebody in your market that is into what we're into, and they might want to help, let us help them get their word out. We've still got room for a couple more sponsors, I think maybe two. And we'll take them because, unfortunately, Alan Bob's went out of business.
Yeah.
Either way, that's how we stay on the air. Jop and I do this out of our own wallets, and we hope that sponsors come along and help us break even.
Yeah.
I can't say that we're ever looking forward to getting rich off it.
Right.
But it would be nice.
Don't forget our buddies at Schmoe's, too.
Yeah.
They make great beer over there on Patterson Avenue.
To drag all this out and bring it to an end, if you do go on there and click on links, you're going to find that some of these people will let you sign up for a newsletter or whatever. A good one for that is ThermoWorks. And I was watching Meat Church the other night, and that guy is pulling out the ThermoPen all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a professional piece of equipment that is affordable for every barbecue guy. And they've got sales going on all the time. And, people ask us many, many times a year, what's a great thing to buy a barbecue guy if I need to get him a gift? And I think one of the first things we always say is get a very good digital thermometer.
Many of them.
And because you're going to need more than one if you do a little bit of cooking. And ThermoPen is the one that we use.
And you can sign up for their – so they send me emails with their promos.
Oh, yeah.
And their promos galore. The one that really piqued my interest is this IR Gun S.
Mm-hmm.
I had one of those when I was in the fireplace business. I paid $300 for it to shoot the glass and show people the temperature of the ceramic glass or shoot the inside of a fire. They have their IR gun at $39.50.
Right.
Now, these people make things in America.
Yep.
You want a reason to buy it? They make them in America, and they're just totally top-notch products. That IR gun, what you can do with that is you can shoot the top of your grill grate, and you can aim it to the side a little bit and pick up the temperature of the actual bars on your grate.
Right.
Not shoot it down into the coals or the flame, but hit the grates.
Yeah, and you know what I do with it more than anything? Because I have one in my kit. I check my griddle when I'm using my Blackstone or any griddle that you have, is that it's really important to know if you're putting a room temperature, even a little bit cool piece of meat on a hot griddle, it's going to stick instantly.
Point is, it's $39
right now. Exactly.
That's ridiculous.
So they're great for griddles too.
Yes.
Because you get hot spots all over your griddle. And when you're cooking, you'll find out that those are a problem if you don't know where they are. So, it's a great piece of equipment.
It is.
And Bob, I was you guys had the show last week. I was out on vacation. I went down to Mexico, and we went to a resort. And almost every day they had barbecue outside for lunch, right? And they bring a big grill out, and they were cooking something, one thing or the other. But I had probably the best piece of lamb I've ever had, and it was the whole leg, and they were slicing it off, but it was. I think it had been put in an oven and brought out, and then they just would grill. They were grilling the whole leg of lamb, so it got crusty a little bit on the outside. Texture and flavor
and
was
amazing.
And
as they sliced it off, did they put it back on the grill and give it a little sear?
Yep.
Bring it to doneness?
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Did they marinate it as they did it? Did they baste it with
anything?
No, I think
it already had the flavoring on it once they because there was a line of people, they were doing it pretty quick. I think they had when they baked it off, they had seasoned it or marinated it already. It was fabulous.
Saying if you're going to try that, though, you might want to baste it as you put that cut piece back on.
Yeah. Yep.
You might want to baste it a little bit, depending on the grill you have.
Right. Put a little flavor on it. But anyway, Coming up next, we're going to start deep frying some things. It's kind of a deep fry time of year. It's easy to do that outside or inside, and we're going to talk a little bit about both of it. But make sure you have your vent hood on if you're doing it inside. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Sneeze Network.
Sorry.
We'll be back.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
If you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats, where our staff is always friendly and they all know our creed. Come on down to Sobey's and let us meet your needs. We have kielbasa, kapusta, chicken, pork, and beef. Seafood and hot sticks, a snack that can't be beat. Dairy and deli, groceries, beer, and wine. And once you shop at Sobey's, you'll shop there all the time.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. Please stop by to see Teresa and myself and the whole gang for good old-fashioned service at 3450 Remembrance Road. Make sure you visit SobeyMeats.com for our specials, and thank you for your support.
So when you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats. And if you're really satisfied, there's one way we can tell. When you leave the store, make sure you ring our bell.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see...
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. I promise we'll talk some grilling here in a minute. If you just joined us, you missed a great first segment, I suppose. But anyway, Barbecue Bob and I are in the time of year when it seems like you're not using your grilling equipment as much when it's 15 degrees out. I mean, let's just be honest. We don't ever put it away, but we don't use it as much. But we kind of transition into other modes of cooking, and deep frying is one of them.
Yeah, and I'd have to say that I signed up for this Alaskan wild fish program, a wild caught Alaska, I think it's called. I don't know.
But they're sending it to you on a regular basis or something?
Yeah, they sent me my first box, and I got halibut, cod, giant prawns, just some beautiful stuff. You can get anything Alaskan wild caught from these people. They flash freeze it, and they send it. It's fantastic. It's a little pricey, but oh, my gosh. If you've never had like some nice halibut from Alaska or a rockfish or some of the things, they sent me some giant prawns.
Okay.
I'm so excited. But the other night, you get down in the dumps in this weather, right? I'm not so susceptible
dark,
to
dark, early, cold. You don't really want to go out much.
I'm like the Ever Ready Bunny, so it doesn't bother me.
Right.
But, you know, maybe my wife can get the cloud effect. So I'm like, all right, I want to get her all pumped up. She loves fish and chips. So I just happened to have a bunch of cod in the freezer. So I said, okay, we're doing fish and chips tomorrow night. So this was last week. And I went out. And, of course, I've got some kids living with me and their kid, my grandkids. And these people are health freaks. So, they only use this, you know, olive oil avocado oil, and I was like, well, I'm going to go out in my deep fryer. This is full of peanut oil.
Right.
So I'm rethinking it, and I go out and look at this, and it's 15 degrees. And I'm like, how bad do I really want to fight this?
Yep.
So you know what I did? I pulled up my Dutch oven.
Sure.
I put the oil in it, and I filled it full of avocado oil.
Right. That's what I used
to. And I snuck in some Wesson that I'm trying to get rid of while nobody was looking. Now I'm busted. But I made up this batter, and I really kind of suck at battering things. I'm trying to get better at it, but there's an absolute art. And this one was one of the best that I pulled off. Still not quite where I'm happy. But this one video I watched, and I'd like to have a talk with this fellow because you don't have to salt the fillets and salt the batter.
No, because it all ends up in the same place.
It was just too salty for me. Yep. And I've gotten down to where I, you know, kind of watch the salt. But I don't care for anything too salty. But other than that, I sent some pictures onto our webmaster, and you can see the results and the process. But I guess I just wanted to talk a little bit about that process, because it is a learning thing, and some of you are probably really good at it. I'm still working on it.
I do quite a little bit of frying, deep frying in the winter, because we like fish, right? And it's bluegill and perch and crappie, because I do a little bit of ice fishing, and that's the best way to do it. Now, my wife likes a flour-based beer batter, right? And I could tell you that I've got this wonderful recipe to whip it up, but I buy this box called Shore Lunch.
Oh.
Okay, and Shore Lunch has a few flavor profiles, if you like them.
Nice.
I just like a regular beer batter, the one that comes in their box, and there's directions on the back, so this isn't rocket science at all. If you follow the directions, the only thing that I would say is I like mine a little thinner, meaning I need more
and
liquid in it.
She likes hers thicker.
Right. And because I like a little batter on a lot of fish, and she likes a lot of batter on a little fish.
She's like my wife.
Right. And so really, what I end up doing is making two batches, and I'll cook hers first so she can have it, then I'll cook mine. And mine are a lot less batter.
So you just
covered.
Add a little beer to your batter and do yours?
Additional.
Yeah.
I mean, because there's ratios per proportion as the way they
recommend.
Yeah, that's
all that makes the difference,
right?
Is the amount of beer you put in.
And then the other thing is the kind of beer that you use. If you use a dark beer, a brown beer, I prefer that batter over a lager like a Miller Lite or a Bud Light. A lot of guys will use that. I like the extra flavor profile that a darker beer.
See, I can't tell the difference.
Oh, well.
In the batter.
Yeah, you can. If you make them, because I make them side by side. She doesn't like that.
Oh.
Okay, so my thinner batch is with darker beer. Her thicker batch is with like a Miller Lite or a Bud Light or whatever we might have around. And she just likes that better. She thinks that the dark beer is just a little too strong for her. In that flavor,
you guys
and I'm
have
thinking
some
it's
fine
fried
palates
fish.
Right there.
Yeah,
what do you think,
well,
Conrad? I think there's some pretty fine palates in that.
Right. Yeah. Buddy.
Differentiate between. Yeah,
well, we put it to use the palate that is. you can tell by looking at me. But anyway, so that would be. But again, I'm sure there are recipes on the internet of how to make a batter, what goes in it, and you can change that profile with garlic. You can add in some cumin. You if you want a little heat. Our buddy Chaz has a pepper, ground hot peppers that he dries out and then he grinds up and he calls it some sort of dust or something. But you sprinkle a little of that on there right as soon as you pull them out and it adheres to the hot batter and it makes it a little too much heat for me. You'd probably love it because...
Well, you know what I put in my batter?
What was that?
Extra Cajun.
Yeah, yep.
T-Gids spice. Right.
Yeah. How'd that go?
Really good.
Because that has a little bit of sugar in it.
You don't put that much in it.
Okay.
No. Nope.
All right. Because
you can overthink it, you know, but I didn't put that much in it.
Okay.
And
enough you could still taste it, though.
Yeah, just enough to bring it somewhere.
Right.
Because I didn't want just plain batter.
Yeah.
And then this is what's great about the internet and YouTube and all these things, right? I love watching cooking shows. And so I did a deep dive into that, and I'll get into that later. But here's the thing I really found out was how to make your own tartar sauce.
How'd you
do
that?
And I've done it before, but I found this one guy who had a recipe that just made sense, and he was a big old fat guy, so I always listen to those guys.
you know he's done it once or twice.
Well,
yeah.
I shouldn't say a big old fat guy, but let's just say he's girthy, and he talks about it.
He was the jelly roll of tartar sauce.
He is... on the money on tartar sauce, I'll tell you that. So I use Duke's mayo.
Yep. Me some Duke's.
Yep. And then I chopped up some shallots.
Okay.
And used a sweet relish because I didn't have any dill to shred. And then I chopped up capers.
Ooh, that gives a little tanginess.
Yep. And then I put in some zest of lemon, which... I cheated. I just used this lemon juice we buy at some organic food store.
So, but those are the, and you just whip that all up in the into the Dukes
and put it in the fridge and let it sit overnight.
Yeah.
And man, the my grandkids were just like dipping their food in it and just sucking it off the food. That and Ellen, she's always into ketchup. She probably didn't eat. I made also tater tots because I didn't want to do French fries. I wanted to bake something. And they love tater tots. They cleaned up an entire pan.
Yeah.
But she's literally just dipping the tater tot in the ketchup and sucking it off.
Right, yeah.
It's a tool.
Well, tater tot's like the third tool on your on your plate, right? Yeah.
But that homemade tartar, that little method. Oh, I also put in cream of tartar.
Yeah, I wondered if that kind of makes it tartar. Yep. Okay.
And I can hardly tell the difference. It seems to be a sublime flavor.
Coming up next, we're going to keep the deep fryer hot with some wings. I have a fond liking for deep fried wings. So you listen to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
Now hit me.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's cold in my neighborhood. I don't know about yours, but we've had some, we had a little bit of snow, and then all of a sudden it's turning cold, and I'm looking at the forecast for where we are, and we're in the teens for the next 4 or 5 days. So getting out in your backyard, don't stop grilling, but I know, I'll admit that it isn't as fun when it's 15 degrees out and the wind's blowing. So we're talking about deep frying.
You got to put your man boots on if you're going to do it now.
You can deep fry in your house. You can deep fry in your garage. And this is not one that I would be afraid of to do in my garage. There's some safety issues with deep frying, but if you just be careful, you'll be all right.
Well, if you're using peanut oil, it's a little safer, but after my deep dive into seed oils and all that stuff, I'm finding peanut oil is like one of the worst processes. Yep. But I'm not going to go down that one.
Yeah, I use a lot of avocado oil. I don't know if they squeeze avocados, the pit or the juice, how they get them.
You can't beat olive oil.
Right. It's expensive, though, to deep fry in because you need a quart or two to make a deep fry.
Yeah. And what?
Well, that's $15 bucks for oil.
Strain it. Right. Reuse it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not hard to strain.
Yeah.
So anyway, we were doing the fish. I didn't really do a very good job at finishing up how I did the fillets, but so I had these big cod fillets,
right?
And I cut them into smaller pieces because I've got 6 people I'm going
to
feed, right?
Well, and
I want to spread it around,
too.
And you get more batter on them,
right?
Thinking of my bride, she loves the batter, right? So it's wild caught, Alaskan wild caught, something like that. I don't know who they are. But it's wonderful. I'm gonna get you more information on that and see if we can get them on the show because they have a chef who's fantastic. Anyway, I found a process that works better for me based on all these guys and gals I watch. The one that worked was, of course, patting them dry and then setting them in flour. And the cod fillets in flour. And then putting them in the batter and then slowly putting them right into the grease. And some people will say, you know, dip them in egg, dip them in flour, then egg. You know, there's all these opinions. What worked for me was just flour and batter and keeping it simple.
So how did the batter stick when the flour was already on the fish? Did that work out okay for you?
Yeah, it seems to make it stick.
Okay.
And that's where
is it a wet batter or dry batter that you're using?
Wet.
Oh, okay. Well, then there you go. Yeah. Right, the flour on the
fish. Yeah, if I was just going to flour the thing, that's not really a batter. You're just, you know, coating it in flour. And you could use your mix for that or whatever and keep it dry. And that's how you like yours. And that's cool.
I do it wet. That's how you get the beer. You got the beer in the batter.
Okay.
So that's how you get the beer batter.
So there's lots of ways to do that.
Right.
And some people don't want anything. But either way, the flour, then the batter, and then kind of laying it. And these guys will show you, they kind of like wag a tail as they go into the grease so it doesn't splash.
Right.
You get it kind of submersed a little slow. And it didn't take as much oil as you might think, because I'm using my 8-quart Dutch oven. I'm not using the big one.
Right. So you put a couple inches of oil in the bottom of it.
That's, you don't have to have, like my deep fryer, you know, there's a foot of oil in that thing.
Right, yeah, right.
And the supermarket loves it when I come in and buy one of those giant jugs of peanut oil.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But so that was just the point I wanted to make, is that one of the things I always had trouble with was getting that batter to stick. Mm-hmm. And just flour, and then into the batter, and into the fryer.
Hot oil, 350. Don't get too much hotter than that, because it'll start to smoke.
Right.
And that'll stink your house up for days.
And I left those fillets on the cutting board for a couple of hours, so they warmed up.
Right, right.
Because, again, I'm pulling them out of the freezer, right?
Yep.
So I guess if we talk about wings, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to want to season our batter the way we want to. If you're battering them, you don't have to deep fry wings.
You don't have to batter wings.
I'm sorry. Yeah, yes. Yeah. And, but again, it comes down to your household preferences and who likes. You're cooking for your wife, right?
Yeah.
Or she's cooking for you.
Well, yeah. There's all of that. My preferred way to do wings is to put them on my pellet grill, or if I've got the big green egg fired up, but a low and slow smoke to get that smoke, and they'll you know, reduce a little bit, and they'll start to tighten up. But I never like rubbery skin, right? And I don't want to overcook them, so I'll put them on there, you know, at 250 degrees for 45 minutes and get the seasoning stuck to them and get them cooked a little bit, pretty much all the way. And then I pull them off of there and deep fry them for only like a minute. Because all I really want to do is crisp up that skin and make it a little bit crunchy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not looking for, I don't batter, I don't do anything.
Well, what a lot of people like to do is smoke them and then deep fry them.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So I'm thinking you could batter them also.
After you smoke them.
Right.
And then put them in the, sure you could. But, sure you could.
But I don't know that I would. But here's my point. You could actually smoke up a bunch in advance and throw them in the fridge. You don't have to do them all that same time.
Right.
Because getting the smoker going is one thing. But if you're going to be inside with a deep fryer or outside with a deep fryer, it's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the only part I hate about deep frying is when it's all over and done, you've got a pot of fouled oil. I mean, it's inevitably got some batter in it or some seasonings. You can strain it.
Yeah.
But it came out of a bottle with a little 3/4-inch hole on the top.
You have to have a different container.
It's really hard to get it back in that bottle without making a dang mess. I mean, there's funnels and stuff.
And you want to let it cool to room temperature.
Right.
Because no matter how you're screening it, you're handling a liquid that, if it's still that hot, you don't want to do that.
Right, yeah.
But now, like, my deep fryer has a filter system. You can actually buy little oil filters like that for recycling your vegetable oil.
Yeah, it's almost like a coffee filter. It's a little more coarse, so the oil will go through it and collect the particles.
I think we should talk to Shasta about finding those little filters and encouraging deep fry people to get their oil at Old World Olive Company.
Yeah, and you'll love the flavor of that. And the cool part about it is Old World has flavored olive oils, so they can add you can add a profile to your cooking that you couldn't get anywhere else.
And let's say you do a lot of fish. Well, if you're recycling that oil, just on your container, just say fish.
Right, right. Because the fish will leave a flavor in the oil that you can't strain out.
You don't want your French fries to taste like cod.
Right.
Or maybe you do.
Or bluegill or whatever else you're cooking.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, I wasn't listening when you said your process.
he's 2 foot from me.
Well, no, I was thinking of another recipe that I was watching that was really good that you would like, and I was just letting you
wax poetic. We'll go with that.
Babble.
Yeah. So your point in all of that is what?
Well, you did say you throw them in the deep fryer.
Yeah.
When you pull them out of the smoker.
Yeah, I do, to crisp them up, because I don't like rubbery skin.
But you don't batter them.
I do not. I'm not a big fan of, and the thing is I don't know what kind of batter I would use if I did. I'm not going to use a beer batter that's got, that thickens up. It'd probably be some sort of cornmeal dusting or something.
Well, if you look at BW3, most of theirs are battered.
Yeah, but I think that
makes them look bigger.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's like these restaurants that serve the whole wing, you know, because it looks big. You get three wings.
Yeah.
For $20.
Well, welcome to America.
I always like the big wings, you know, because there's more meat, right? Isn't
well, our friend Tim Sobey at Sobey Meats will tell you that if you could get over not eating wings, the best value in the world is chicken legs. Because the legs, if you want wings, because you still got the handle, it's just two or three times the size, and they're half the money.
And
popular.
And if you're deep frying them, that's when a drumstick actually turns out well. Colonel Saunders came up with a process for their deep frying. They do it under pressure.
Right.
There's a name for that, and I can't think of it.
Pressure cooker.
No. Yeah. No, but it's a deep fryer that's a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
And that will make a drumstick more edible, in my opinion.
Right.
Because I'm not a big drumstick fan.
I'm not either, but they're 99 cents a pound, and chicken wings are $2.99. So that's why Tim says it's a great deal. If chicken's chicken, you're eating picking off the bone, you pick off a leg rather than pick off a wing. That's all he's saying. So, but anyway, coming up next, we might talk about, that's a great segue, chicken fried steak, man. There's a song about that, and we won't be singing it, but maybe we'll make you sing with a recipe. So you listen to Grilling Guys, stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Andy Havemeyer, operating owner of Wealthy Street Bakery, where we're more than just pastries. Open from 6:30 to 9, Monday through Saturday, and 8 to 3 on Sundays. You can enjoy a fresh pastry in the morning, a hearty sandwich for lunch, or a delicious brick oven pizza for dinner. Whether you're into coffee and tea, beer or wine, our drink menu is sure to have something for everyone. We hope to see you soon. Don't forget to check out our sister location, Hall Street Bakery, on the corner of Hall and Fuller. Check out our menus online at wealthystreetbakery.com and also at hallstreetbakery.com.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Got to feed that boy.
You are getting your man card pulled.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys. We're approaching the last segment here, and Conrad's favorite thing to eat is chicken fried steak.
Oh, I thought it was stuffed wrap dip jalapeno.
No, you know what? I saw him really dive into some squirrel once too. Did you? Yeah.
Got to get that in.
Yeah. Ouch.
Can you hear the sound of it backing up? Because, man, I've been run over so many times on this show.
You're going to have to pull the drumstick out.
That day it took a strong stomach to be on the Grilling Guys because the guy went into the dry heaves when he figured out what he was eating.
Oh, man.
But it was pretty good, wasn't it?
It was really good.
It was really good.
That was Brad from Garrett's brought that in and sabotaged our friend Conrad. The first one went down really good, and then the second one, he wondered what he was eating, and Brad told him, and holy cow, it all changed.
Well, there's another great meat show called Meat Eater.
Yeah.
The guy's from Muskegon.
Yeah.
And he was teaching this girl how to hunt, and he forced her, or his training made her shoot with a little gun and a little target. So he had her shoot a squirrel first.
Okay.
And then they roasted the hindquarters of the squirrel.
Right.
Oh.
And she was thrilled at how good it was. She was shocked.
Right.
Yeah, and I haven't had squirrel in so long.
She was thrilled?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because she was scared to eat it.
So,
and then she took a bite and she goes, oh my gosh. And she was like gnawing it down to the bone. So you just got to open your mind up when you're talking meat.
Right. So talk a little bit about chicken fried venison steak.
This is a fantastic recipe. And if you've got some venison in your freezer yet, and some of us do, this is a great way to do a version of it that's going to maybe make people a little more tempted to try it who didn't maybe want to try it. Or maybe you've camouflaged it just enough that you don't even have to tell them,
yeah.
Which will make them afraid of your food in the future. which saves you money.
Oh, yeah. Seagulls are flocking.
Yes. Yeah. They fly off the heap.
Oh, I got a story for that. Don't let me forget it.
So here's what you can do. I want to hear that story, but here, because this is all bullcrap. We're just BSing here all the time.
Finish the recipe, king of bullcrapper.
Yeah.
So you take your venison steak out, and you get your meat tenderizer, whatever type you're using. It could be a jacquard. It could be a mallet. You might have a device that you can run it through like a Ringer washer. I don't know how you're tenderizing.
Swiss steaker.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can literally take any steak and tenderize it and beating it up. So then you're going to do the same thing. You're going to get flour. Some people only like rice flour for this. And eggs and flour and seasoning. So the batter you're making on this one is going to be flour and eggs and I think a little bit of oil or cream. I love heavy cream. And then, again, I'm pretty part – I've got a million seasonings like you do, but using that Cajun the other night, that was fantastic.
Yep. It doesn't have much heat to it. It's good. It's just it's a really good flavor profile.
Yeah. So, again, dragging those steaks into the flour – then putting them in the eggs, and then back into a seasoned flour straight into the deep fryer.
Right.
That's a chicken fry method.
Yep.
So it's flour, eggs, flour. If you want to put a little cream in your eggs, you can.
So my version of that is flour, egg, cornmeal batter rather than flour because it's a little bit crunchier when it cooks. Flour is you get an even look.
Where yeah, you can put a little cornmeal in it if
right,
you like.
Yeah, that Andes.
So you do chicken fried steak?
Yeah, yep. That Andes, A-N-D-E-S, is a batter.
Right.
Captain Ken turned me on. But they got two or three flavors, but that's a cornmeal, not a flour. And what it does is it crisps up better than flour does.
Well, they have both versions, actually. Yeah, yeah. They have a cornmeal and a flour. So you like the corn one.
On the outside, flour, egg, cornmeal.
Well, so there's a way to do chicken fried steak, but I would definitely put a seasoning profile, or I might even marinate that venison, depending on the quality of it, because you might have some that you didn't handle so well, you didn't process it well enough, and it's slightly gamey or whatever. Like the stuff I've got it down to a pat process after the last couple of years, and it comes out as good as beef or better. It's just so good. It's fantastic. So if you've got one that's maybe got a little gamey flavor or you've got people afraid, so just marinate it. Go on our recipe, grab a marinade.
And you want to camouflage it a little further, you can make yourself like a cracked pepper gravy, right?
Yeah.
Put on top of that.
And that's the recipe that I saw online for chicken fried steak.
Mm-hmm.
And the recipe for that is half stick of butter, quarter cup of flour, 2.5 cups of milk, and then you finish it off with cracked pepper.
Right, and put that in a pan and saute it down until it thickens up.
Yep. It's that easy. It's that stinking easy.
Yeah.
Butter, flour. I'd probably go with heavy cream and milk or half and half because I love that high fat content for that stuff.
Yep.
And it's very healthy for you. But then a good coarse cracked pepper.
Right.
Give it a little color.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good.
So
I want to hear that story.
Okay. Well, I was down in Mexico last week. That's why I'm assuming Chaz co-hosted the show with you, right?
Yep.
And I was down there in Mexico, and we decided to go deep sea fishing. And we went out and washed bait for 6 hours and never caught a fish.
No.
We were trolling, and we had the highlight of that was, I don't know, it was as big as a dining room table. Shark came up behind our baits, and you could see it because everything was on top of the water. And you could see the shark he followed. I think he was after the fish that were following the bait, not after our bait, because our bait were like little foot long.
And what were following your bait?
Well, we never caught anything. That's where I'm
so
at.
You couldn't, your captain didn't tell you what they were?
No.
Portuguese dolphin?
Right. No. No, I don't know.
Mahi mahi.
But anyway, so we left the deep water and started coming in towards the port. And he said, I'm going to stop here and we're going to have some fun. And he said, there's school of barracuda in here. And so we didn't switch baits, still had the same baits out there, but he started circling a reef, right? And and he said those barracuda are on that reef. They'll come off the reef and start slaying. We caught 18 barracuda in like 15 minutes. But, you know, they're all like 3.5-4 foot long.
Isn't that the prettiest fish you ever
yeah,
saw?
Yeah, they're super silver. But giant,
no, they're enormously
teeth.
Ugly.
You're right, yeah. Giant teeth. And but anyway, so we boated a bunch of those. And we had talked to our resort, and the chef would not let us bring in fish out of the ocean to cook because we were going to. So we said, we don't want any of the fish. We knew that going out. It was just an experience.
Oh, wow.
But there was a guy on the boat that did, right? We there were four of us fishing, and so we shared it with another couple guys.
You mean you kept the barracuda?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you gaff them to get them up. They're dead. He's running a gaff in them to pull them into the boat.
Did he ever say he had ever eaten barracuda?
Well, yeah, evidently, because the when the guy said he wanted some, the mate went down and started filleting fish right on the deck of the boat. And what he was doing is throwing the entrails into the water, right? There's many things that'll eat that. The thing was is when he threw the first one up, out of nowhere comes these
seagull.
No, they're bigger than that. They had like a 6-foot wingspan, white chest, all black wings, and a real bent wing. And I've been seeing them flying around Mexico the whole time I was there. They're beautiful birds. But they are not an albatross, but they're big. They're super big.
Like that.
Yeah, yeah. There's a name for them. We looked them up, but I don't remember. My point was, is he's throwing these entrails out there, and them and the pelicans are catching these things in the air.
Are they fighting over
them? Well, no, they just catch it and fly off, right? But anyone that hit the water, then, yeah, they were fighting over. I mean, it was a flurry.
Aerial combat.
And we're motoring at 20 knots. I mean, we're humming, getting in. And these birds just flew right in behind us, and they're following us. And as he's throwing them off, they're catching them. I'm like, we got extra bait. Got these little foot-long pieces of cut fish that we were fishing with. I took one, I grabbed it, and put it in my hand, and I held my arm up. I did this 4 times. I got a video of it. I'll show you. Those birds would fly by and take that fillet out of my hand. I'm standing on the back of the boat going 20 knots. Holding the fillet
up. Were they polite about it?
No, they ripped it out of there. But, I just made sure I didn't stick my fingers up. I just held the tail of the
Well, have you
thing.
Ever tried flying at 20 knots? Right, that's
yeah,
pretty good.
Right. Oh, man. But it was crazy. They were tenacious. And like I said, I did it 3 times. And they were just whack. They just take that out of your hand.
Jeez.
And my wife says, well, man, you could have lost a finger. I'm like, no, I wasn't. I had to take my whole arm. But they were after the fish. It was cool. It was really cool.
So to finish up the deep fry, real quick, stuffed, wrapped, dipped jalapenos.
There's a lot going on there.
Yeah, you can stuff them, you can wrap them in bacon, and then roll them in flour, dip them in your batter, and deep fry them.
Does the bacon get done?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. You're frying at 350 degrees.
Okay.
And if you want to pre-cook it, you can pre-cook. I always pre-cook it anyway.
Yeah, I don't like rubbery bacon. That's all. But anyway. Hey, you've been listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Get out in your backyard. I know it's cold. Fire up a deep fryer, maybe even your grill or smoker. And, don't forget to create that grill envy in your neighborhood. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. And make it a safe one out there. And we'll talk with you soon.
Yeah. Hit thegrillingguys.com.